being online. We appreciate you being with us. And thank you, visitors. And it's good to see the Hollins family back with us. Yes?
Yes.
So it's a good Sunday and lots of rain. So I think it's okay to use the word everyone when I'm talking about grandparents, because if you're not, if you're one of the minority here
who are not, well, you can't be thankful for your grandchildren, but you can be thankful for your grandparents, because if you were grandparentless, that's a new word I came up with, there's a good chance you wouldn't be here. I want to look today at a very familiar verse of scripture from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. You've all heard this a million times. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Lord, as we pursue your word today, as we study it together, may your spirit be powerful in our midst. May you be connecting with our spirits, Lord. May we hear exactly what you want us to hear. Many different people here today with many different perspectives, but Lord, you're able to tailor make a meaning, something precious for each and every one of us. Thank you for that, Lord. We bless your holy name. Amen. Probably most of us read this verse and we automatically conclude that it's for parents. And parents are certainly prime players in this amazing role of raising their children. But I do want you to notice this morning as we look at that verse, it doesn't say train up your child, it says train up a child. And so you're not excluded, grandparents, from being involved in raising a child. And other people are not excluded either. And you know, it's such an important job. It's an eternally important job, this job of raising up children. You know, there's an old adage around that says it takes a village to raise a child. And in our current environment, we certainly see people who want to get involved in raising our children, the government for one, for example, the school system for another, trying to influence the raising of our children. Some of that is actually quite ominous. But today, let's just focus for a minute on grandparents and their role in raising a child. You know, developing minds, and they tell us that young people's minds are still developing right into their 20s. They are influenced greatly by personalities around them, by voices, by the voices around them. And so we as grandparents have to think about that in the context of what voices, what influences are in our kids and our grandchildren's lives. And we cannot abdicate the opportunity, the awesome opportunity to be part of that amazing role. You know, Grandparents' Day is a relatively new holiday compared with some of the other holidays in our calendar. It was 1978 when the U.S. Congress passed into law Grandparents' Day. It took Canada a little longer, and that's okay because we pride in doing it better. Hope there's no Americans here. In 1995, the House of Commons adopted this particular motion. It says that in the opinion of this House, the government should consider designating the second Sunday in September of each year as Grandparents' Day in order to acknowledge their importance in the structure of the family, in the nurturing, upbringing, and education of children. Notice, if you will, that last phrase, acknowledge their importance, that is grandparents, to the structure of family, in the nurturing and upbringing and education of the children. You know, I'm glad to see that there is actually acknowledgement, even from our government, that grandparents have an amazing role to play and an important, as I said, eternally important role that it is. Webster's Dictionary offers their definition of the role of grandparents play as well. They write, the role of grandparents in family life is ever-changing. They play many roles, from mentor, to historian, to loving companion, to childcare provider. Strong intergenerational connections can result, giving grandchildren a sense of security, of belonging to the extended family. Do you ever notice how dictionaries have an amazing ability to make things sound so important? Doesn't child care provider just sound so much more impressive than babysitter? Right? You're child care providers at times as grandparents. You're never babysitters. You're the important people in the lives. All of the aforementioned roles are important. But for Christian grandparents, I want to modify that last statement somewhat. I would suggest that strong intergenerational connections can result and hopefully will result in giving grandchildren a sense of spiritual security that comes through faith in our Lord and a belonging in the extended family of God. Grandchildren need to belong in a family of God. They need to have that support. They need to have that encouragement. And you grandparents and you parents and you believers are all part of that family connection. In Timothy chapter 1, another very familiar verse of scripture, chapter 1 verse 5 of 2 Timothy, Paul characterizes his young protege Timothy by saying this. He said, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you. We see there that intergenerational connection. You know what's interesting? When you look up the Greek word that's translated here as grandmother. I'm not a Greek scholar, don't pretend to be, but I find it interesting that apparently there is no Greek word that accurately captures the concept of grandparent. The Greek word that's translated in this verse as grandmother is actually another word that's used by infants to address their mother. Now you think about all of the names that you've heard, depending on the cultural background, of how kids call their grandparents. And you could probably list a whole bunch of them here this morning. But I found it interesting that in this verse, we have the children acknowledging, as it were, the grandparents as just being another mother or another parent. That kind of brings us closer to the situation, doesn't it? So we see in these words a wonderful example of intergenerational faith. We're not privileged. We don't know the details of exactly how Lois influenced Eunice. We don't know how Eunice influenced Timothy. But what we see is an amazing result, an example of intergenerational faith. And that's the goal, I believe, that all of us as believers are striving for. Generation after generation serving the Lord. Let's also consider the following. We spoke a little bit about King David last week. We know that King David is defined as a man after God's heart. A man like us who had all of his problems with sin, certainly, but did for the most part diligently attempt to follow God. A man after God's heart. When King David dies, the kingdom passes to his son Solomon. Solomon, just like David and like us, he had his problems, but again, his father diligently attempts to follow God. But when Solomon dies, things take a serious turn for the worse. He's succeeded by Rehoboam. And in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 22, that's 1 Kings 14, 22, we read this. During Rehoboam's reign, the people of Judah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord's sight, provoking his anger with their sin, for it was worse than that of their ancestors. When Rehoboam dies, he's succeeded by his son Abijam. That's an interesting name. I don't see that as a popular choice for names for new babies, but anyway, Abijam comes along. And in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 3, we read about his rules. It says, he committed the same sins as his father before him, that's his father Rehoboam, and he was not faithful to the Lord his God as his ancestor David had been. When Abijam dies, he's succeeded by his son Asa. And in 1 Kings 15:11, we read this about Asa and his rule. Asa did what was pleasing to the Lord in the Lord's sight as his ancestor David had done. So you see the transition here from godly men to ungodly men, and now we come back to Asa, who does what's pleasing in the Lord's sight. So let's think about this for a minute. Asa is the great, great grandson of King David. He is the great grandson of Solomon. Now, there's been much time passed between his rule and King David's rule. We're now in the fourth generation, right? The intervening parents and grandparents have abandoned God completely and fallen into terrible sin and aroused God's anger. But when Asa comes to the throne, he knows what needs to be done. He knows how he needs to live and how he needs to govern. He knows how to lead his people in the ways of the Lord. So an interesting question that would come to mind is, how did that knowledge come to him? How did he know that? We're not told the answer to that question, but I would submit to you this morning that it's quite possible that his knowledge and how to serve the Lord came to him from his great-great-grandfather, David, and his great-grandfather, Solomon. We know that David was a writer. He authored the Psalms. We know that Solomon was a writer. He authored Proverbs and the Song of Solomon. So it's quite possible that Asa's grandfathers were the influence that many years and three generations later turned the nation back to God. Now let's go back to Webster's definition for a moment. I think Webster's first statement is well noting too. He says, the role of parents, grandparents, and family life is ever changing. You know, when I thought about this, I thought, wow, those words could be characterized as a huge understatement. When we think about the role today, we can see that the role of grandparents is radically changing. It's ever changing, but it's radically changing. Timothy's father was a Greek. He was most likely a non-believer. And so the role of encouraging the child in the faith was left to the mother and the grandmother. This was probably an exception in the time that Timothy lived, but it's commonplace today. Our culture is changing. Here's an interesting statistic about Canadian families that will certainly influence the role of grandparents these days. Although most children under the age of 17 belong to families in which the parents are married, 73%, a significant proportion of children belonging to one-parent families, 17%. Most of these children live in one-parent families headed by women, that's 15% of the 17%, rather than families headed by men, which is 2%. So also consider that there are a growing number of families where parents have opted out of Christianity completely. In these cases, assuming that the grandparents are Christians, the grandparents have a huge challenge, and secondly, they have a huge opportunity for ministry. A very somber thought is that unless grandchildren hear about God from their grandparents, they may well not hear about Him at all. Just stop for a second and think about your grandchildren for a minute. Are you confident that every one of your grandchildren at least know John 3:16? It's an interesting question in this day that the role of grandparents is radically changing. But here's another stat that I really want you to think about, and this is what I consider to be a very positive stat, a very positive thing that is part of the world we live in today. Did you know that we're living longer? We're living longer, and we're living much longer. Now think about this. God is giving us, as grandparents who are living longer, to be and have more time in the serious business of influencing our grandchildren. Do you know that in the year 1800, probably you're not going to remember that year, but do you know that the life expectancy for a Canadian in the year 1800 was 39. And in 1900, which, you know, some of us probably don't remember, but my dad was born in that year, so it's an easy year for me to remember. The average life expectancy in 1900 was 47.6. Think about that, 47.6. So the amount of grandparents that had the privilege and opportunity to spend significant time with their grandchildren would be significantly reduced. I never met either of my grandfathers. Both of them were deceased many years before I was born. Again, people dying early. Paul talked about an accident that killed his grandfather at 61. Both of my grandmothers died before I was very old. And so today, when we think about this, God is blessing us with many more years of life. Years that can be used to represent the Lord in the lives of our grandchildren and encourage members of our entire family unit to follow Him. So today's Grandparents' Day. You know, typically in our English language, when we put two words together, we come up with what's known as a compound word. Usually they fit quite nicely and the meaning is quite obvious. We immediately see one of those words and we understand what it means. How many are enjoying the sweet corn season? Yeah, it's coming to an end, so get out there and stock up. We have a great example of a compound word, the word corn cob. We buy a dozen cobs of corn, and presto, the word corn cob makes sense. Another example would be the word marketplace, the place where we buy our corn cobs. It's a place where farmers market their corn cobs, and so the word marketplace makes sense. Now here's the question. How does the word grand fit together with father or mother? You ever think about that? These are important questions to ask. How does that word ever fit together with father or mother? Well, let's look at the definition of grand, because if you're a typical grandparent, you probably announce yourself as a grandparent once in a while. I suspect there may be one or two of you that may have a tendency to brag about your grandchildren a little bit. So it's important then to know what grand means when you're representing or presenting ourselves as such. There are two primary meanings for grand. Here's the first one. It means magnificent, imposing in appearance, in style, in size. I'll put that together with father, and you have a magnificent, imposing grandparent. Now, if you like that definition, claim it for yourself. I mean, and if it doesn't fit, well, let's look at the second one. The second one says, it means denoting the largest or most important item of its kind. Denoting the largest or most important item of its kind. Listen carefully. If you're a grandparent, by definition, you are part of a multi-generational family. And you are an important part of that family unit. No escaping it. And in this world of dysfunctional families, in this world where tragedy has resulted in the loss of other key family members, you may well be the most important item in that multi-generational family. You might well be the most important item in that family. You may be the one, for example, who is trying to assist in the healing of hurts brought by members of the previous generation. There's so much of that in our culture these days. Hurts that continue to fester, continue to impact, continue to hurt in this generation, where none of their fault, but were brought by previous generation. You may be the most important one, the one that's able to bring some kind of healing to that sort of problem. And so the second meaning of grand fits well with your awesome opportunity to influence the children in your family unit. And so Kristen asked me for sermon titles, and I entitled this one, Do Something Grand. As grandparents, do something grand. And here are several tips, several clues to help you along the way in doing something grand. Number one, guide grandchildren with grace. What does grace mean? Undeserved, right? Don't always give your grandchildren what they deserve. Leave that for their parents. Treat your grandchildren with grace. Second one's important. Respect parents' roles. We know that there can be problems when grandparents are involved in taking on things that they should and must leave to parents. Here's one we all can like, abound in affection. You can't love your grandchildren too much. You can't love your children too much. Nurture their nature. Everyone is different. Recognize the differences. Recognize that they are hand-designed children of God, a reflection of God's image as a human being. They're not going to be the same as you. They're not going to have the same values in a lot of ways. They're not going to have the same interests. Nurture their nature by recognizing they are God's design. Deal with it. The dilemma of distance. How many have grandchildren that are a long ways away? Yes. There are many ways you can deal with the dilemma of distance today. With technology, there's really no more excuses for it. Everybody here is familiar with the word phone. You can call them. You can text them. You can FaceTime them. You can do a lot of things. Next, pray with passion. Pray with passion and with purpose. I was reading another verse just the other day in my devotions, which talks about keep on praying. Don't give up. Don't think that it's becoming too repetitive. Keep attacking the throne of grace on behalf of your grandchildren. Here's one that maybe we have trouble with. Adjust my attitude in case I need to. How many can experience once or twice, maybe three times, where you had to adjust your attitude? Fourthly, this is one we just talked about, restore relationships. You can be the repairer of the breach. You can be one that helps to restore relationships. Excel in my example. Paul talked about the example of his grandfather. What are you leaving behind in way of example, in the way of leadership, in the way of faithfulness to your God? Number my days. Yes, we're living longer. But this is from Scripture. It tells us, teach us to number our days. Why does it say that? Every day is precious. Every day has opportunity. Every day can be a day of influence. Number our days. Tell them my testimony. Paul was telling us his testimony this morning, and you can tell your grandchildren your story of how you came to know the Lord. You can tell them your story of how he supplies your needs. You have a great testimony. Intentionally influence. Be determined to be a person of influence. Never neglect the next generation and give them the gospel. Wow. So all of these are nicely packaged in a little document that I intended to hand out to every grandparent this morning. It kind of boggles my mind how Amazon can get you a $2 item in 24 hours, and the Royal Mail takes a little bit longer. So hopefully by next week, I will have these that are part of this pledge for grandparents to give you next week. I'm sorry about that. Lord, as we close our service today, we are thankful that you have come into our lives. Everyone here today has a unique story of how you called them to the cross and how they responded and asked forgiveness and how you ministered that spiritual healing to them. Lord, I pray that we would understand with seriousness the awesome role that we have, the awesome opportunity we have to rescue at least a small part of a lost and dying generation for God. We stand amazed at someone like Asa, who, despite all of the sin and brokenness that came in the immediate generations before him, was able to turn his nation back to God. Lord, as grandparents, help us to pray with passion, believing that we could be the one voice, the one source of influence that would turn a child, would turn children, would turn parents, would turn families back to God. Teach us to pray with that passion, believing that we're praying in your will that not anyone should perish, but that everyone should come to know you as their personal Savior. Bless these grandparents on this day and make them a blessing in their lives. We ask in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen.